Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna. What was that question about the ladies, how they can be Krishna conscious?
How ladies can progress in Krishna consciousness? What exactly they have to
do? How ladies can progress in Krishna consciousness? What exactly they have to do? Well, sometimes this verse is preceded by Gopya Uchuhu. Ahushate nalina nabha padaravindang yogeshvarayar hridi vichintyam agadabodhaihi sangsara kupa patito taranavalambang gehangjusham apimanas yudhyat sadanaha. The gopis spoke thus: Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. Purport: The translations and word meanings for this verse are taken from Srila Prabhupada's English rendering of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 181, where this verse is quoted. But I'm reading it from the Bhagavatam because there's no purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where it's quoted, except the only purport is to say that this is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. So here's the purport. Revealing the jealous mood in which the gopis spoke these deceptively reverential words, Srila Viswanath Chakravarti gives their statements as follows. O Supreme Lord, O directly manifest Supersoul, O crest jewel of instructors in definitive knowledge, you were aware of our excessive attachment to home, property and family. Therefore you previously had Uddhava instruct us in the knowledge that dispels ignorance, and now you have done so yourself. In this way you have purified our hearts of contamination, and as a result we understand your pure love for us, free from any motivation other than assuring our liberation. But we are unintelligent cowherd women. How can this knowledge remain fixed in our hearts? We cannot even meditate steadily on your feet, the focus of realization for great souls like Lord Brahma. Please be merciful to us and somehow make it possible for us to concentrate on you even a little. We are still suffering the reactions of our own fruitive work, so how can we meditate on you, the goal of great yogis? Such yogis are immeasurably wise, but we are mere feeble-minded women. Please do something to get us out of this deep well of material life. That's the end of the quote from the Vishwanath Chakravarti, paraphrasing the thoughts of the gopis. Pure devotees, then the purport continues. With Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary translated into English. Pure devotees are never motivated by a desire for material elevation or spiritual liberation. And even if the Lord offers them such benedictions, the devotees often refuse to accept them. As stated by Lord Krishna in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 20, text 34. Na kinchit sadhavo dhira bhakta ye kantino mama vanchatyapi mayad tang kaivalyam apunam bhavam. Because my devotees possess saintly behavior and deep intelligence, they completely dedicate themselves to me and do not desire anything besides me. Indeed, even if I offer them liberation from birth and death, they do not accept it. End of quote. It is quite appropriate, therefore, that the gopis respond with a trace of jealous anger to Lord Krishna's attempt at teaching them Jnana Yoga. Thus, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the words the gopis speak in this verse may be interpreted as follows. O sun who directly destroys the darkness of ignorance, we are scorched by the sun rays of this philosophical knowledge. We are chakora birds who can subsist only on the moonlight radiating from your beautiful face. Please come back to Vrindavan with us, and in this way bring us back to life. End of quote. And if he says, then come to Dwaraka, there we will enjoy together, They reply that Sri Vrindavan is their home and they are too attached to it for them to take up residence anywhere else. Only there, the gopis imply, can Krishna attract them by wearing peacock feathers in his turban and playing enchanting music with his flute. Only by his appearing again in Vrindavan can the gopis be saved, not by any other kind of meditation on him or theoretical knowledge of the self. The question is, how can ladies advance in spiritual life? I'm quoting this verse and purport, and taking up the topics within this, we can take up this question. Although actually this verse is... How many of you are familiar with this verse? You've heard and noted it before? Gehang Jusham, these important words. We're engaged in household affairs. This verse is actually at the basis of all the Gaurya Vaishnava understanding, of all of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feelings and that he wants to inculcate in us. But it's in the 82nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, outside of Vrindavan, where Krishna and the gopis meet. And this is... Anyway, that's a very big topic, which is really, you can say, in many ways more important than how can ladies advance in Krishna consciousness. But actually, the how can ladies advance in Krishna consciousness is much more important for the ladies. Just like, Einstein's relativity theory is very important for people on that level, and it's more important than learning 2 plus 2 equals 4. But for the kids going to school, 2 plus 2 equals 4 is more important than Einstein's relativity theory, because it's Einstein's relativity theory is way above the heads of almost everyone in this world, what to speak of little kids going to school. So we have to start somewhere. So starting at the beginning is better. So this is actually at the very... The emotions being expressed here at the very highest level of spiritual understanding, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to relish and to give information of. But I'm not going to discuss that very much today, not very much, although that's where it's all leading to. The point, how can ladies make advancement in Krishna consciousness? Well, they can chant Hare Krishna, that's most important, and study Srila Prabhupada's books, serve the Vaishnavas, and do everything else that men do also. The direct practices of Krishna consciousness. Of course, the woman's situation is different. I've actually discussed these points many times, but there's no harm to discuss it again. I think if certain of my lectures discuss these, I think you must have heard, is it? Certain of my lectures, I discuss these things. I had a seminar on family life in Krishna consciousness. At least once I did it in Russia. And that became part, immediately they made a book out of it, the devotees there, out of the transcriptions, because they found it was something very practical and useful for them. But surprisingly, anyway, that book's not in circulation anymore for certain reasons. Not everyone liked it. So there are certain restrictions on women, just like we say that chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra daily, minimum. But especially for young mothers, this is very difficult. Although I don't recommend chanting on clickers, I allow it for young mothers with babies, because they have no schedule. Their schedule is baby. Whatever the baby, they become mata, what is that? Mata sarup hoy baby nitya das. It's 24 hours. Ahai tuki apratihata. So, for them, whenever you can click your rounds, that's all right. You can't say, you know, the baby's crying and I shut up, I have to chant my rounds. Baby can't understand that, nor should the baby be subjected to that. And when baby gets a little older, even if no ones are following, and it's not a bad idea if they're following either, we're not against babies. It's not a bad idea to have children. So there can be one and another one and another one. Another one and another one. I'm not against it. If you teach them about Krishna consciousness, why not? But then when they get a little older, then you have to get them off to school in the morning. So you might not be able to chant any or many rounds. That means you have to get them up. And anyway, you know. Those who know, they know. I don't have to explain to you. It's the morning, every morning is a marathon. Yeah. One morning, one kid hits another on the head with a spoon or something, and then the other starts crying. In the meantime, you're trying to cook the idlis, and you know, the husband's also shouting, "Where's my shirt? You didn't iron it." And he forgot and put it in with the dirty clothes. I say, it's like, you know, it's like I've seen living in grihastha houses. It can be somewhat chaotic sometimes. Would anyone agree with that? Sometimes means, you know, regular cycles within 24 hours, daily. So, especially young kids, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You never know what they're going to do next. See, they need constant attention. Otherwise, they're going to drink the bleach or pour it over the other baby. They need constant attention. So, it can be difficult for mothers. And some of them we've heard in ISKCON today, they say it's better not to have children. It's better for your spiritual life. Or better... send them off to the kindergarten or something. But no, the woman's body is meant for having children and marriage is meant for having children. As Srila Prabhupada would quote, putrate kriyate bharya. What is that? Putrate. That's the word. That one accepts a wife for the sake of having a son, particularly. Putra means son. And it can mean daughters also. It can mean children, but it specifically means a son. So, it's we say, well, women should chant Hare Krishna and all these, but they have to also perform Stri Dharma and Bhakti Dharma side by side. So that means Stri Dharma means serving the husband, serving the children. Serving means looking after. And also the elder, in traditional families, means the elder members of the family also. And guests. So it's a life of service. So that's very conducive, isn't it, for Krishna consciousness? Probably the worst ashram, if you just consider all the different positions in human society or in varnashram society, probably the worst ashram for becoming Krishna conscious is the sannyas ashram, because it's just the opposite. You're always sitting up on a higher seat. You're always telling people what to do. You're always being served. And where's the trinadapi sunichta? I mean, unless you have it inside, then sannyas is going to kill you. Which it's accepting disciples. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, a Vaishnav cannot be a guru, because as soon as he accepts disciples, he ceases to be a Vaishnav. So therefore, one who accepts disciples actually doesn't think, they are my disciples to rule over. Rather, he thinks that this is a service given me by my Guru Maharaj. Unless that... It's just like yukta vairagya. Unless there's vairagya internally, then Yeah, we can use billions of dollars in Krishna's service, but if we have any trace of wanting to enjoy it, then we better not accept billions of dollars because it will corrupt us. So intrinsically, it's just like that. There's one anecdote related that some rishis came to Vyasadeva to ask him which is the best yuga, which is the best ashram, and which is better, to be a man or a woman. So as they came to his ashram, he was just taking bath. And bath means you go down three times and come up three times. So when they just arrived there, and he just came in the water, he came up and said Kali Yuga. He went down again, came up and said Shudra. He went down again and came up and said women. They hadn't asked him the question, but he's Vyasadeva, so he knew what they were. So then he came out and they said, could you explain that? That doesn't sound quite right. So he explained, Kaling, well, I don't know if he said this verse, but Bhagavatam explains, Kaling sabhaja antyarya gunagya sara bhagana yatra sankirtananeva sarva swartho bhilabhyate. Kali Yuga is worshipped by persons who are very intelligent because they understand, or persons who understand the actual point, that because in Kali Yuga, by the simple process of Sankirtan, everything is attainable. So Shudra is the best. So Kali Yuga is the best. Shudra is the best ashram. Shudra means in the mode of ignorance, incapable, fool. But Shudra is the best because if you have a good master and you serve him, then you don't, that's all you have to do. And you can get, you share by in his spiritual advancement. What to speak of a Shudra? It's said that even the cats and dogs in the house of Shiva Thakur attained bhakti because he was such a great devotee. That's not an excuse for you to keep cats and dogs. Not in the house, but means in the village people, there are cats and dogs which kind of, no one invites them but they come anyway, and then you throw them some chapatis or something and like that. So by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's grace they also attain bhakti. Then women are the best for this. It's also best because for women they don't have to do any austerity more than their street dharma. They don't have to. If they serve their husband and the husband's on the right track, they get all the benefit that he gets. And even if the husband's not on the right track, if they perform their street dharma, then that's also glorious for them and they can uplift their husband. Often we hear within ISKCON that, well, okay, I'll be Sita, but where's Ram? If the man's not like Ram, then I'm not going to be like Sita. But it's the woman has to be like Sita anyway. Even if the man's not like Ram, then still it's her dharma in the woman's body to serve her husband in the best possible way. There's no stri dharma of, you know, having a fist fight with the husband. There's no such thing. So stri dharma and bhakti dharma are to be practiced side by side. And you may say, well, you know, we can't go out and preach all over the world. As Prabhupada said in one lecture, he was saying, just like the women, the women in our movement, they're not saying we'll be like Prabhupada and travel all around the world. They have a different duty to perform according to the body. Of course, we're not the body, that's true. We are spirit soul, but different situations call for different modes of activity within this world while practicing bhakti. So women, as has been analyzed by our modern psychologists, some of them, and as we can practically see, women, they have a very strong psychological need, and to put it in modern terms, to be protected and to have children. And if they don't have children, they feel very much incomplete emotionally. And even physically, women who don't have children are much more prone to various diseases, especially gynecological diseases and breast cancer and various. So it's something that goes with the body. Women are meant to have children. And if they don't have that, then physically and emotionally they suffer. So when you have children, you have to look after them also. And they're also inclined to that. You'll see a four-year-old girl, and then there's her four-month-old brother, and she's picking him up. She's not much bigger than him, but no one has to tell them that they immediately start taking the role of a mother. And you'll find that they have these, because in the modern world in the West, they started this of not having many children, so they had this idea of having dolls. That the dolls are for the girls. They take it like a baby because they don't have a little brother or sister to look after. And the little boys, they have a doll they invented this later, of a soldier. And for the girls, it's a baby. And then later on they made this, all these other things, beauty queens and all this kind of thing. But it's just a natural propensity for a woman's body to want to look after children. So Vedic culture facilitates that. And the modern culture doesn't. It goes against that. Instead of being gharwali, they're officewali. And then the children are, their mother and father is the video games, in which they, from a young age, they have the fantasy of killing all kinds of people. And then, the way it's going, it'll be just after 2 or 3 years, it'll be, you'll see in the newspaper column, just on the tiny, three lines, a child in America went to school and killed 50 people. It'll just be like this, just like Kashmir, it says, just three lines, 13 people were killed by militants. It just becomes a normal thing. So no one's interested. Just they put it there because, it's just anyone's interested, they can see. So like that, the way it's going in America, it's becoming a very normal thing. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but I said becoming. That kids, they pull out a gun and they go to school and they kill a whole bunch of people. So obviously in a society where children are doing this is something seriously wrong. And what's seriously wrong, you'll find, is that the children, in many cases they don't have a father because the parents are divorced. And the mother is also out all day. And they're called latchkey children. They come home, they have a key. And they open the door of the apartment and they go in and there's no one there. No food. They get the food themselves from, either they get something from the freezer and put it in the microwave, or they get it from the local McDonald's. Like that. There's no mother at home to welcome them, to kiss them, to scold them, to change their clothes, to give them food that she's cooked because she cares for them. So people think, women, they should be the president of the country. We now have in India the Rashtrapati. And they want to make the Pradhan. They want to make it in America also. So, and within ISKCON also, they say, women should do all the same things as men. But I say, let's set a good example of family life. Even we have to go out and distribute books and please Prabhupada, but I don't think Prabhupada's going to be pleased if you distribute books and leave your kids without any meal. I say feed your kids first, and if there is an opportunity, if there's an opportunity to go out and distribute books, do it, but don't neglect serving your husband and children. Otherwise, what are you going to preach Krishna consciousness? Yeah, we're preaching Krishna consciousness. We're chanting Hare Krishna, and our kids, they're neglected. And this is what we're preaching. Neglect your kids and preach Krishna consciousness. Well, we first of all have to become human beings, and then we can consider becoming Paramahamsas. If we can't even follow a proper human culture, then this is a mistake to think that, well, I'll be a Paramahamsa and I'll neglect my duties. But the example of Paramahamsa in the Grihastha Ashram is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was absolutely responsible in his family duties. He didn't neglect his work, he didn't neglect his family, and he was fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. He didn't say that, well, you know, I had all these kids and now they can look after themselves because I'm doing bhakti. He never said anything like that. He was completely responsible. So getting back to the ladies, they have all their household duties, and they're in a mood of service, which is humble service, which is very good for developing bhakti. May be difficult for sadhana, that's true. You have to try and... Well, you know, when all the morning chaos is over, things settle down a bit at home. So then you can chant Hare Krishna at that time. You have to adjust your schedule a bit. But cultivating this mood, the gopis, they're saying that, well, of course they're saying it in a jealous way, but that's a very intimate mood between the gopis and Krishna. But what they're saying is that this mood can be adopted by ladies. It's just like Krishna at the Rasa dance, when the gopis came, he called them with his flute and they all came, and he said, actually you should all go back home. It's not good for women to come out in the night away from their homes. You should serve your husbands and look after your children. And Prabhupada, actually Krishna is being facetious, or he's like joking with the gopis. He didn't want them to go away, and they didn't go away. But they danced with Krishna. But Prabhupada writes in his purport interspersed with this that actually these instructions are not, they are applicable in general human society. These are important instructions. So in the same way, devotees or ladies, they can cultivate this mood that the gopis are expressing in this, or stating in this verse, that we are just, you know, we're just ordinary housewives, and you are that person, Krishna, who are meditated upon by great yogis, persons who are highly self-realized, and who am I? I'm just an insignificant housewife. So cultivating this mood of humility is actually very pleasing to Krishna. That others, you see, here's the great sannyasis and big devotees, they're doing so many things. And I'm just an insignificant housewife. But anyway, Krishna, you please accept whatever little bhakti I'm able to perform for you. So, cultivating this mood, that geham jusham, we are just engaged in household affairs, and who are you? You are the controller of yogis and the controller of the whole universe, and who are we? We're just all very ordinary people. So cultivating this mood, remembering the gopis who were at home engaged in household affairs but always thinking of Krishna. So the housewives, they can meditate like that. That we appear to be, we're engaged in our household activities, but really our interest is Krishna. We're doing all these things, but our interest is Krishna. We look after the children, we try to inculcate in them Krishna consciousness, But we know that everything here is temporary. My home is temporary. This building I'm living in is temporary. My relationship with my husband, that may, well, that will become permanent if we're both pure devotees of Krishna. But that's not, that is relation as we're both servants of Krishna. So, cultivating this mentality, that I'm very small, very insignificant. There are so many great devotees doing so many great things. If I can simply become a humble servant of the devotees, or even I can't become a humble servant of all the devotees, but Krishna has given me this role to serve my husband, look after my children, let me do that as best I can. And Krishna will be pleased. I'm not saying that women shouldn't distribute books, or it's wrong for them to distribute books. It's very good if they can. I'm just saying that don't neglect the family affairs. And then, as you get older, then with all this experience, that's how it usually goes on. But the culture's been broken. It's still going on to some extent in India. To some extent. But then as you get older, then traditionally in India, the old women were very much respected, isn't it? Because they had a life, whole life of sacrifice. They gave themselves to their children, and children appreciate that. Everyone appreciates. So then in older age, then within the family, within a broader group, can give advice, help others, like this. So this is some outline of how ladies can be Krishna conscious. It's just some general idea that you can go on with your bhakti and remember the gopis who were just ordinary women, you can say, from the external point of view, but fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Their household duties were not an obstacle to them being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. With that great humility of thinking that Krishna is so great and we are just very ordinary and small. So that feeling is something to be cultivated. Just like we were singing the other night that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he doesn't say, well, you know, I'm a great devotee and I've got Krishna prema. He doesn't say like that. Name anurag na jana milomo. He says, I don't have any taste for the holy name. So that feeling of helplessness, asura shakal pailo chara bhaktivino takilo boshi, that so many demons attain to the lotus feet of Krishna, but I'm still here, I'm still stuck here. So that feeling of helplessness, that I'm very small, I'm very insignificant, I'm not doing any great thing, I'm simply depending on the mercy of Krishna. And then Krishna becomes very pleased by that. And actually it is a great thing. It's, in modern life, it doesn't recognize that. They denigrate the position of mothers and say, oh, what is this, housewife? Ha ha, that's useless. Why don't you become an airline pilot? But it is a great thing. It is a great thing to look after children. It's a great, that sacrifice. People in the modern age, sacrifice is not recognized. It's only how you can dominate others, how you can get a big position. That's recognized. But if no one's prepared to sacrifice, then everyone becomes very selfish. So like I was saying, guru, sannyasi. Sometimes people criticize these sannyasis, they're just enjoying themselves, you see. Everyone serves them and they tell others what to do. But actually it's a life of sacrifice. If a sannyasi is not in a mood of sacrifice, then like I say, all that respect and everything, it will destroy you. If you're not in a mood of serving others, then you'll be destroyed by that. It's not a position to be enjoyed. So that's there briefly. And Hare Krishna Maharaj, just for you. Don't read it aloud. Okay. I'm being told that Koi hai hamare beech jo angrezi achitra ne samaste. So I should speak in Hindi? Kitna log hai jo angrezi theek ne samaste. Sharam ki baat nahi hai. Itna sa nahi hai. Oh, anuvad ho raha hai. So Tirupati had some question. Oh, so I'm looking here and there, and looking right in front of me. What was that you were saying about bhakti and culture? What's the question exactly?
Relationship between bhakti and culture.
The relationship between bhakti and culture. Could you be more specific? I mean, it sounds like it's a topic that a book could be written about. In fact, I have written a book about it, which I've been talking about for years. But when I stopped coming to Dubai and about the other, 60 places or so that I go every year, then I can finish writing all these books. I wrote a book a few years ago, big book on Vaishnav culture and etiquette. But I didn't finish it because I thought I'll finish the Bhaktisiddhanta book. I thought just a few things to do, let me finish the Bhaktisiddhanta book, I'll go back to the etiquette book. Then I did a little research on the Bhaktisiddhanta book, and here I am, 7 years later with a 1600 page book. It just expanded and expanded and expanded. But anyway, could you be more specific, because the relationship between culture and bhakti?
When we see devotees are more serious in bhakti, but when they come up in some other, say, material functions, they completely deviate beyond from bhakti. They completely deviate from their custom, culture, customs.
I don't know what you're talking about. You have to be more specific. You're saying serious devotees, then they... What is the question? I mean, could you give an... what is the incident that's on your mind? You're going to tell him, you know what it is?
Actually, we have discussed one day. Mm. So, Prabhu was telling that if there is a Tamil New Year, for example...
Pongal.
So, as we are a devotee, we say that Janmashtami is a New Year for us. So, why do you want to celebrate this Tamil New Year?
Well, in Gaudiya Sampradaya, we say the Gaur Purnima. You can say Krishnabda also.
So do we generally celebrate this Tamil?
Should we follow the Tamil New Year? Well, you can do it in a Krishna conscious way. It's just like, everyone around you is in a kind of happy mood, and you can go on Sankirtan. What do? They cook some special things, is it?
Yes.
Pongal. Not Pongal. Yeah, why not? Have a prasadam feast. Call all your non-Tamil friends. And then on the Gujarati New Year, the Gujarati devotees can call all the non-Gujaratis, because there's so many New Years in India. There's the Bengali New Year, which is Pohila Boishak. Kichidin Age, no? Ah, so 3 days pore hobe. 3 days pore. Boishak shesh hoye geche. Ei to boishak. Acha. Kerer ei abohawa to falguner moto. Eta beshi gorom hocche na. Ha? Bangladeshe onek gorom hocche. Anyway, there's the Bengali New Year. I don't know what it is in Orissa. In Telugu, I think it's the same, is it? No, they have the Makar Sankranti. Then in Kerala they have Onam, is it?
Vishnu.
Is it? So anyway, there are plenty of New Years. So actually, it's the important festivals we have are like that. Janmashtami, Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja, then there comes Radhashtami and Govardhan Puja, and we have our own. So these are important festivals. But actually, we can have a festival every day, and you can spiritualize it like that. Why not? Invite your friends, give them pongal, or whatever it is. You see, that's the whole thing. When you're in family life, then there are social considerations also. And if you tell your mother that your Tamil acquaintances, I'm not going to celebrate pongal because it's Maya. Actually, it's probably, if you look, there must be some religious background to it, because everything in Indian culture is originally religious. Just like Christmas is supposed to be a religious festival, although in the West it's mostly forgotten. It's just, bad day for the turkeys, which is like a turkey is a big chicken, which is eaten in England on the Christmas day. So turkey's bad. Christmas is bad news for the turkeys. And they give gifts and they get drunk. I mean, they always get drunk, but it's, especially around Christmas Day. And it's just a secular festival. Actually, the history. Jesus, there's a 1 in 365 or so chance that Jesus was born on December the 25th, because they don't actually know when he was born. But there used to be what they called a pagan festival, which they co-opted it into Christmas, because, anyway, it's a long history. So there are certain social duties and social considerations, and you can't, grihasthas and sannyasis, they have different outlooks. Just like your friends call you for a marriage and this and that, well, should you go or shouldn't you go? It depends on the individual, but like I say, grihasthas do have some social duties, and you can't totally avoid them, but you can Krishnaize it like that. And if you have children and they see all their friends are celebrating and they're not, so you can do also, but do it in a Krishna conscious way. I would suggest, don't be, leave the fanaticism to me. And when you take sannyas, you could be a fanatic also, but in grihastha life, there's a license for sense gratification. It doesn't mean total indulgence in sense gratification, but there, something has to be there. You can buy your wife saris and bangles and this and that. You don't have to tell her that it's all, it's Maya, you shouldn't dress nicely. Women like to dress nicely on social occasions. So you can all dress up nicely on social occasions. I couldn't get married because I never knew how to dress nicely. I still didn't know, so like that. That's not, you dress nicely on some social occasion, you go and, everyone looks, he's nicely dressed, this, that. It's all right, if your Krishna consciousness is so fragile that by cooking pongal on pongal that you'll fall down into total maya, then, you're really too weak. You should make some adjustment, that's all. I suggest. You can use it maybe for book distribution. It's like in Christmas in England, it's a very good time for distributing books, because people are in a mood of giving money, they're giving gifts. So maybe like that, you could dovetail it. At the same time, we don't have to make a very big thing about it. But it's a suggestion. I in the West, our devotees celebrate Christmas sometime, but I have no interest in that, because it's not our culture at all. But then if you have children, then maybe you have to do that also. So is that the only question about culture and this and that? Yeah. Is it permitted to take sannyas for women? Not actual sannyas. The actual rite of sannyas is for men only. But in Shastra we see there have been vairaginis, brahmacharinis, but generally not. And generally it's women are supposed to get married. It's unless they're very advanced, it's very difficult for them. Ramanujacharya had like sannyasini disciples, something like that. But in almost all cases, it's recommended women should be married like that. I mean, in this age, even for men to be renunciants, it's, you know, it's a high attrition rate. So, and say, even for men, does that mean men are better than women? Well, the male body is, in Shastra, it's considered more appropriate for Vairagya, the mentality that comes with it, because like I say, women are naturally attached to having children. Vairagya isn't the only thing in spiritual life. I mean, the women also, as they also have a tendency to be more devoted. So, for bhakti, that's good. But for, well, another thing is, for young women to be renounced, it's not a very good idea, because women have to be protected. Women can't travel around by themselves. They're in danger of being, you know, misused forcefully by men. So they require to be protected. And you can't be protected and be independent also. If you say women want to be protected, that means someone has to say, here, come, stay. Don't. The other night in Sharjah, we came out of the program 11 o'clock at night, and we saw a young, looked like a Hindu woman, or Indian woman, might have been a Christian, I don't know, walking around alone at night, at 11 o'clock at night. And I suppose that's normal nowadays, although just a short time ago that would have been considered something disgraceful, or not, just not possible. Because, you know, they complain that about rape and this and that, but if women are walking around alone, especially at night, then, you know, they're asking for trouble, you could say. So, they should be protected. It means they have to accept some restrictions also. And for sannyas means a somewhat independent life, a traveling preacher. So that may not be very suitable for, maybe for older women they could do like that.
Manaspati says that.
Hmm?
Manaspati says that.
Sorry? Manu, yeah.
Manaspati, as a child, she should be protected.
She should always be protected. Prabhupada quotes that, yeah.
Old age by son or.
Yeah. Should always be protected.
The sannyasini can somehow just.
Nastriyam Svatantra Marhati. The women are not fit for independence. Manu writes. Prabhupada quoted that. Yeah.
Can you say something about the great women saints of India?
The great women saints of India?
Ananda
Well, we don't consider her a great saint because I mean, maybe saintly, yes, maybe some qualities as a saint, but philosophically, she had some kind of mystic powers. But we also, in bhakti line, we don't give much attention to that. Anyway, Hare Krishna. Yeah, what do you want to say?
There's sometimes we see among the young couples, or sometimes even older couples, that in the name of, you know, sometimes, you know, it's bhakti also becomes like a scapegoat for them to find reasons to actually start finding fault with one another, and there are some of the younger grihasthas specifically, then it becomes like a balance that they have to strike between making some adjustments in bhakti or calling the marriage off.
Making some adjustments in bhakti. We're going to be if you're not a paramahamsa, then I'm throwing you out of the house. We're going to get divorced. These are complex matters. Maybe you could advise us better than me. But it is, that can be a difficulty. Like, husband and wife before marriage, they're devotees. And then one wants to practice at a different level to the other. One says, you know, I'm going to get up at 2:30 every morning. The other says, hey, give us a break, you know, I want to sleep till 5:30 or 6:30. And one says that, you know, I'll chant 16 rounds a day, but, you know, when there's an Indian-Pakistan test match, I'm not going to miss it. Yeah, maybe. There are, you know, people on different levels. So, not maybe, there are. You know, I've seen in Mayapur, in our brahmacharis, you know, when there's a test match, you know, they know all about it, like what the score is and everything. So I heard that when there's the World Cup soccer on, that, like, you know, ISKCON in South America stops. So someone may be on different levels. Someone may say, well, I'm not going to drink 7-ups. Someone may be so strict, I'm not going to drink 7-ups. So I say, you know, drink a 7-up. You know, give us a break, you know. Let me drink a 7-ups. So there may be... So it's better to see before you get married. It's something to consider. And then if you marry a non-devotee, or you're not devotees, and then one takes, or both of you take the bhakti, but one of them wants to go more than the other. So, it requires a lot of understanding. Take advice from more senior devotees. It can be very difficult, especially if one partner wants to eat meat, which is very common in the West, not so much in India. Whereas in India, even people have been meat eaters all their lives, many of them, if you speak to them, they can at least understand that it's better not to be a meat eater, even if they don't immediately take it up. In the West, it's very difficult. Many people think they're just crazy. You know, stop eating meat, what's wrong with you? You know, they really think it's crazy. And they feel cheated, you know. We got married and we were, you know, so many, what happened, you know, and then these people came along and turned my wife into a crazy woman, and now she doesn't want to eat meat, and, you know, and they resent it. So these, but I think you have to, one thing is you have to be patient, another thing you have to take guidance from senior devotees. There's one case I heard of where, in Bombay, one Mataji, she took to Krishna consciousness. Now, her husband wasn't interested, and they're both meaters. She stopped meat eaters. She stopped eating meat, and she refused to serve him meat. And so he didn't come home at night. He'd stay out and take in his food in restaurants, and then he'd be going to bars, and he was going down the drain. So the devotees advised her, cook him meat, and cook it as well as you can, and serve him nicely, and don't complain about it. And he was, you know, he was saying, you don't go to the temple, and he'd want to beat her when she went to the temple, and it looked like their marriage was finished. And he told her, hey, cook him meat, and serve him nicely, and apologize for not doing so before. So she started to do it, and then he said, okay, you can go to the temple. And then eventually, okay, I'll take you to the temple, I'll drop you off. And then he started to come inside, and then eventually he became a devotee also. Because the method of confrontation didn't work. That her duty as a wife was to serve him, And he was used to that, and she stopped doing it, and he became resentful, and he found his sense gratification elsewhere. He wasn't happy at home, so he didn't want to come home. And he felt that my wife was resisting me, so he didn't like that. But then when she started to serve him, even if it's against the regulated principles, but then his senses became under her control to some extent. So there's an example. Prabhupada's sister was married to a flesh eater, and she served him, she cooked fish for him all her life, although she never ate it. It's a difficult circumstance, but she was able to be Krishna conscious in that circumstance. So what's better, to serve meat to your husband or be divorced? Many people say it's better to be divorced, but it seemed that Prabhupada, he never advised his sister to leave your husband. She has her duty as a wife and she can go on chanting Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada didn't interfere with that. So yeah, in each case needs some guidance also. And it's a fact that it is difficult to get good guidance in these matters because no one wants to get involved, it's... I also don't want to get involved. And it's not really my duty, it's the older grihasthas to try to help the... I can speak like this and give some general idea, but it's not really my duty to get involved intimately with all these details. You were telling me also about, visiting some ISKCON centers and they don't behave in a very cultured way. Well, I was just talking about that with the devotees from Goa. They're saying, well, we want to get some land and build a building. And I say, oh, that's the easy part. But getting spiritually qualified people to run a center, that's not such an easy thing. So it's relatively easy to... What's happened is many times people offer land and they're enthusiastic, but we don't have qualified leaders, so we stick in people who are less qualified, and the result is often not very happy. That people... To be a leader of an ISKCON center requires to be highly qualified spiritually and materially, not just to be a leader, but to be a member of a Krishna conscious community, a brahmachari, so that when someone walks into the temple and they're nicely greeted and someone can present Krishna consciousness to them nicely. But in many cases, it's not like that. So, in many cases, we've expanded because the demand is there. Many people want it. But training up qualified leaders, it takes time. And there are not that many people who have come to that level who are ready for that also. So it is a fact, unfortunately, that in many of our centers that... devotees, they don't... Often we might get the impression that devotees are not living up to the ideals that we read about in Prabhupada's books. As one ISKCON leader said to me, he's the president of a center in Bangladesh, that someone had said to him, should I follow what's in your books or should I follow what you do? There shouldn't be a difference, but there is a difference often. So it's... And many people have been turned away from... I was just turned away from Krishna consciousness by the misbehavior of our devotees. I say, better don't start a center unless you have qualified people. It's just like in some cities, the situation for preaching Krishna consciousness is worse now that there's a center there than it was before they had a center. Because before we went there, people had a good opinion of us, and now they have a bad opinion overall. So it's not true everywhere, but that may be there. But find good association wherever you can get it. That's all. And be careful in choosing your association. Sorry to say, but, you know, in Kali Yuga, even the highest ideal may be misused by certain persons. So, what else? You were saying about Anandamayi Mara and Sharada, but they're famous as sadvis, but they don't follow the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Vaidaisya sarvairahameva vedaha. All the Vedas are meant for understanding Krishna. So according to Krishna, they fall in the category of namang duskrityo mudha. Namang duskrityo mudha. Prapadyante naradhamaha. Maya pahrita jnana. Asurang bhavamashritaha. Bhagavan Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that those who do not surrender to me fall in four categories of miscreants, is the word Prabhupada uses to translate duskriti, or misbehaved people. They are murha, fools, the lowest among mankind, apparently knowledgeable, but actually their knowledge is stolen by illusion, and out and out demons. So these people who many people consider as great saints, according to Krishna, they are not at all saints, because they are denying Krishna's superiority, directly or indirectly. So, they may have some external symptoms of saintliness, but where is the surrender to Krishna? That's lacking. So we don't accept them as great saints or as saints at all. In fact, maybe just the opposite. This Sharada was the widow of Ramakrishna, who popularized flesh eating in Bengal with this idea, Joto Mot Toto Pot. It doesn't matter what any path, everything's as good as everything else. And he himself was a flesh eater, and people call him a great saint. He made a big confusion. Krishna says, Ma me kam sharanam raja. And he says, Jato mat tato pat. Just exactly against the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. But people like it. Sounds good. So, briefly, you may say the great sadvis, but we don't accept. Unless they're surrendered to Krishna. And that should always so be the proper way, not just... Now, anyone can say, yes, we're surrendered to Krishna. What does that mean? We have to see the scientific definition of Sharanagati. Last night I was saying in Abu Dhabi that many people take to Krishna consciousness, Hindus take to Krishna consciousness, just like in the West, people, they may be just not very religious, and then they become a born-again Christian. It's more or less out of sentiment. They think, well, this Krishna consciousness is very nice. But Prabhupada didn't present Bhagavad Gita as a Hindu scripture. This is a nodded Krishna tell Arjuna, now I'm going to tell you the Bible of Hinduism. Sometimes they say Bhagavad Gita is the Bible of Hinduism. But Krishna said, Jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshami asheshatah yajgyatva neha bhuyo nyajgyatavyam avashishyate. Now I'm going to describe to you that knowledge, the scientific knowledge, by which everything is to be, by which everything is understood, and by knowing which nothing further remains to be known. So Krishna presented scientific knowledge of reality, not Hindu faith, some mishmash where everyone, whatever they say, everything is all good. No. Therefore, we reject as rascals those who present themselves to be very saintly, but they don't surrender to Krishna. We accept as rascals because Krishna says that. And Krishna, according to the conclusion of Veda, which means knowledge, it's not the Hindu scriptures, Veda means knowledge. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And our duty is to surrender to Him. And however saintly we may appear to be, if we're not surrendered to Krishna, then we're either Murha, Naradhama, Maya Aparita Jnana, or Asura. If you want to accept Bhagavad Gita. Every Hindu will say, do you believe in Bhagavad Gita? Yes. Are you prepared to surrender to Krishna? And they'll either say no or they'll say yes, but with their own interpretation. So, this is not a sectarian religion. This is knowledge. If you want knowledge, you can take it. But most of our devotees, I see, they don't read Prabhupada's books. They may learn shlokas, but they don't. For them, it's just they're learning shlokas, but they don't try to. They don't read the purports and understand what it means. So it's in Sharjah also. Sharjah, between Sharjah and Abu Dhabi, I was pointing out that to accept Krishna consciousness as a kind of Hinduism is not what Prabhupada came to give, or what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. Vedyam vastava matra vastu shivadam tapa trayangulanam, the actual reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all, which uproots the threefold miseries. Not good Hinduism, that we're good vegetarians. This is Hinduism and good Hinduism, because we're vegetarians and we don't smoke and drink. But no, it's scientific knowledge. If you come that way, that's good. Any way we come to Krishna consciousness is good. It's definitely better to be a pious Hindu, or even an impious Hindu, than someone who has no feeling for Vedic culture. To be born in a Hindu family is an advantage, but at the same time, there are many things to be learned. And simply to say "Garv se koho hum Hindu hai," that is a long way from the perfection of life. In fact, it means that you haven't understood the first instruction of Bhagavad Gita, wherein Krishna says that every Hindu will agree that yes, we're changing bodies. We're changing body. But the implication of that, I'm not a Hindu, I'm not this body, I just happen to be born in a Hindu family, and therefore I've got this rubber stamp on my head which says Hindu. That's the meaning of it. Actually, this word Hindu, it's a modern word, and it was just adopted that we are Hindus was adopted in the 19th century by all these Bengal Renaissance, and out of that came the Arya Samaj, and then the Ram, especially Vivekananda brought this up, to our sense of identity. It was more like some kind of nationalism. It's anti-Christian or maybe not anti-Christian, but as a response to the influence of Western culture on India. So they identify that we're Hindus, it's a great culture, and it's not like the Christians say that we're completely useless, we are good, and it's better to play football than read Bhagavad Gita so you can be strong. That's a saying of Swami Vivekananda. So they identified themselves as Hindus, but it's unscientific. It's spiritually speaking, it may be for a social identity as a Hindu, it may be good, but the social identity as a Hindu works against the principle of spiritual life, of understanding that I'm not this body. I'm not Indian. I'm not male or female. I'm not Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. Aham Brahmasmi. That's the beginning of spiritual life. Not aham Hindu. We're all Atmas, and I'm a Hindu Atma. There's no such thing. So please study Srila Prabhupada's books and understand this knowledge, as Prabhupada said, scientifically. That Vedic culture, Prabhupada spoke of, that Vedic culture is very good, no doubt. if properly understood and applied. It's often misunderstood and misapplied. Just like someone says, well, the wife has to be subservient to the husband, so beat her up every day. And, you know, she should just do whatever I say, and I don't have any responsibility to her. Just her only duty is just to do what I say, and I can be a big lout and be nasty. But that's a misapplication. That's just one example. That's a common misapplication. I mean, not as common as in the West, where there's a kind of propaganda that every Hindu woman is mistreated and 99% of them are burned. Women in India are generally better off. I mean, at least they have a fixed husband, whereas in the West they don't. You know, even in America, they brought this up to Prabhupada, saying, "Well, the men are exploiting the women." And Prabhupada said, "It's better to be exploited by one man than by many." So, Hare Krishna.
Some Mataji's occasionally object, I mean, having take exception to this Mahaparta Vipara.
Well, you know, they can object, but it's pretty dangerous objecting to what Krishna says. You know, that Krishna says that the Striyo Vaishyas Tatha Shudras, Krishna refers to women as a lower situation. So the women may object, but from the Varnashram point of view, the women's situation is not meant for direct activities of self-realization as the men are, although I was given that example of Vyasadeva, who said the women can get their situation is better. But generally it's understood that because of the tendency for material attachment is very strong in women, therefore it's considered a lower situation. Well, why object? If you think I'm a woman, then you are less intelligent. Why are you? Someone's in a higher position, someone's in a lower position, according to our previous activities. But whatever situation we're in, we should concentrate on Krishna and go to the highest position. The whole verse is Mam hi partha vyapashritya yepi supapa yoneha striyo vaishyas tatha shudras te pi yanti param gatim. They can attain the supreme destination. That's the point. The point is not to denigrate women and say you're completely useless. They say that even though your position, according to your previous karmas in this birth, is lower than that of men, that's no hindrance in attaining the supreme destination. That's the point. The woman in this life may be a man in the next life, and vice versa, but what's the use of any of this? Krishna says that we have to go to the param gati, and whatever we may have done in the past and whatever we may be in the present, that's what we should aim at, and you can attain it in this life. That's no obstacle to you attaining the param gati. So the point is not to denigrate women, but to say that all right, well, it is. It's not such. Anyway, in this material world, it's a bad situation. But the woman's situation is generally considered lower or worse than that of the man, for various reasons like that. One of the tendency for material attachment is very strong. That's why women are called stri. It means through her there is vistar. It means having many children, and then material attachments develop. So, but that, again, the point is that that's no obstruction to attaining the highest destination. And then Krishna again says, King Puna Brahma Punas, Bhakta Raja Shyas Tata, Anityam Asukam Lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam, and say, well, then certainly the those who are in the brahmanas and kshatriyas, they should be able to attain. But then again, we see there are many people, they're a very high Brahmin family, and but they're not Krishna conscious. So better be a woman and be Krishna conscious. Much better than being a big sannyasi and not Krishna conscious. These misunderstandings are just products of the massive ignorance of Kali Yuga. It's coming from the Western world, whose cultural contributions are Tom and Jerry, Mickey Mouse, soccer, cricket, widespread divorce and drug abuse. I mean, drug abuse is there in India also. But it was just like this whole tea drinking, that was all introduced by the British for money. So the Western culture, there may be some good things, but on the whole, the Vedic culture is better for God realization. And you can be a great, like the gopis. The whole Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is meant for worshipping women. We are Shaktas. Vaishnavas are Shaktas. Shakta means worshipping Shakti. So we worship the gopis, the Shakti of Krishna. Vaishnavas are the best Shaktas, best Smartas, best Shaivas, best everything, if we actually understand what it is. Anything else? Which verse? Yeah.
It also means that the men who are not brahmanas and kshatriyas are also papi.
Well, this verse doesn't specifically mean that they're papi. This verse refers to various situations that people have been born into in this life due to their previous lives. So one who's born in a Brahmin family or kshatriya family, it's generally it's considered that they had some pious activities in a previous life to do so. And Vaishya and Shudra, less so. Although Vaishya, they may also have some pious activities. Shudra, generally not. And then lower than Shudra is, you know, out of the picture. It's not even mentioned. And then women, even if you're born in a Brahmin family, then the male birth is, it's considered that one has had more punya, and this is a science. It's not a question of, you know, opinion or sexism, that you get more, you get a better position according to your punya. So that is considered better for advancement according to the general varnashram system. But again, Krishna says that takes us beyond. Krishna consciousness immediately takes us beyond our previous karmas and dharmas, if we take to it fully. Although it may be that, or it is a fact, that our material conditioning often holds back our advancement. But from another point of view, anyone in this material world is a papi, even a brahmana, because we're here because Krishna Bahimokoya Bhogavancha Kore Nikatasta Maya Tare Japatiya Dhare. Because being forgetful of Krishna, we've come to this material world. It's a fact that the position of a devotee is beyond that of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, male or female. But as long as we're in this world, we have to, as I was saying, we have certain social roles to fulfill. And it's also a fact that, that it's not just by, you know, putting on some tilak you become self-realized. We're still conditioned by our natures. So, well, I'm a Vaishnav, therefore I'm transcendental to male and female. It's a very dangerous thing to say. That's what happens with the Sahajiyas. They say, well, we're all devotees, so we can all mix up. We're all devotees, so it doesn't matter. Unless we're actually on an extremely advanced platform, then restrictions should be there between in dealings between men and women, because otherwise scandals will ensue due to mundane attraction. We say we're all devotees, but we're not all self-realized devotees. And even if we are very advanced, then to set an example for others, we should still observe various restrictions. Otherwise people will say, well, you shouldn't, you know, walk, you shouldn't associate so much with someone else's wife. And say, well, you know, the advanced devotees do, and I'm, you know, if they can do, I can do, I'm also advanced. And then, so, even if devotees may be advanced, but to set an example for others, they should observe certain restrictions. Anything else? Hare Krishna. So, we finish there. Thank you very much for receiving me nicely, as always, when I come to this part of the world. You can leave it going for now.
Just as a token of appreciation for all...
I didn't finish my appreciation.
Sorry.
I don't appreciate. I'll withdraw my appreciation. No, I won't. I'm only joking. Yeah, we very much appreciate. One feeling's been growing on me, and it's growing more and more over the last few years. I really have to stop traveling so much, and I have to write some books, because... Just like I was giving the example, last night we went to Abu Dhabi, between leaving and coming back it was about 6 hours, in which 1 hour went in a lecture, and there are about 40 devotees there, maybe a little less than are here now. And they were very nice and very enthusiastic to listen. But I'm just thinking, if I could spend the time writing, then those books would... It's systematic presentation of various important subjects which I have to write about, just like these questions about culture. These questions come again and again and again, and family life. So I want to write books on these. So I'm the time must come when I stop traveling so much and sit and write more, so that I can write books. The books will be there, and for generations people can take advantage. Otherwise, there may be... there is a lot of confusion in our movement over these issues, over the roles of men and women. And in the name of bhakti, we see that many times that men are mistreating their wives, wives are not properly serving their husbands, wives are not looking after their children. So I may not come as much in future, maybe once a year. Although I'm planning to come again in October. But if I cut down, then it'll be for a higher cause. Not that I don't love you. So, Hare Krishna. Sorry to be so rude, but you're probably used to it after all these years. I've been coming here for at least 18 years now. I realize that. Anyway, you are just a young whippersnapper. You know that term, whippersnapper? It means like a young wild boy. His parents were very concerned at one point. You know, he's so irresponsible and this and that. They said, just get him married; he'll be all right. So, I'm a good astrologer. Sorry to embarrass you, but all glories to your wife. She's helped you a lot. My disciples have helped me a lot. It's true. You see, you accept a wife to help you and serve you, and we accept disciples and responsibility, but they help me a lot also in so many ways. So thank you very much, you rascals. Prabhupada said that the duty of the guru is to always chastise the disciple, even if there's nothing wrong with them. So, even though there's nothing wrong with you, you're all rascals.
Yeah. Might be the greatest blessing that we got from you.
Well, thank you for taking it like that. Hare Krishna.
And just a token donation.
Okay, great. Very good. Thank you very much. Appreciated. Yeah. $1,008. Very good. All right, take it back. My financial consultant. Financial consultant means I get money and I spend it for Krishna. That's all. You want a financial consultant? I can be your financial consultant also. Just give all the money to me and I'll spend it. Not only me, but anyone who's going to spend it in Krishna. So don't give all the money. You have to look after your families also. But don't keep it for your families only. You have to spend for Krishna also. So, spend for Krishna. You will not be the loser. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
His own little Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj ki jai. Mataji, can you please come
here? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Women first. Don't speak. Please come. Hare Krishna, you can come like this, because if I give one by one, it takes too much time. Hare Krishna. Was what I said all right?
Yes.
The women?
Yes.
Not going to be too upset.
Maybe some more women.
Huh?
Maybe some more women.
You have to pinch them also. You don't believe me.
Yes.
You have to preach the women also, because there's bodies of all my being right inside this
one. Even the congregation, when the family sees
Krishna consciousness, they want to do it. Yes.
Though Krishna is in between, it's still.
My voice is okay now. I take it.
It's always whenever you're
sweet. Just chew it. That's Joshti Madhu. Sweet.
Yeah, it makes
licorice.
Yes.
In English, it's called licorice. In Bengali, it's called Joshti Madhu. Sanskrit, Yashti Madhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
You're new in Dubai?
I brought all CDs and I have
Now where?
I know you from Vidyanagar.
Acha.
You were studying there or what?
Yes, I was studying earlier.
Yes. Where's your house? Your father's house?
Yeah, I came with my brother.
Acha. Your father's house is in Anand?
Yes, yes.
Acha. Welcome. Hilda.
And Vrindavan.
Acha. They're good friends, is it?
Yeah.
How's your bhakti? How are you going on with bhakti? You're chanting nicely.
Yeah.
How's your chanting?
She's Vinita Mataji. She's come for the first time. She's our neighbor here. She's been putting up with this quite a lot with all of
us. Yeah, no.
And
she's named Vinita.
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 Yes, M-I-N-I-T.
What's that? That's like from Minoti?
Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Do you have Prabhupada's books?
Bhagavad I have Gita? One book. Yeah, I have the Bhagavad Gita and then the other one which, you know,
Background. थोड़ा अपना परिचय और विस्तार से देंगे। मिस्टर नरेंद्र, मिस्टर वाधु, अजय, दे बिलोंग टू अ ग्रुप वेयर दे आर preaching Vedic knowledge and Bhagavad Gita knowledge, but then
if there is a God, matlab isme koi sawal nahi hai, God hi hai.
Let him complete.
One thing I want to understand,
of course. We have to become purified. God means who is completely pure. He is everywhere, but he has his own abode also. But the point is, we can't perceive him in our impure state. He is supreme, we are his servant. As long as we are not in the consciousness of being his servant, then we can't see him. Actually, even the desire to see him is the wrong desire. The desire should be there to serve him. The desire to see means, the desire to see God means I'm putting what I want first. But you should, he is supreme, so you should find out what he wants of me, not what I want of him. So even the desire to see God is not the correct attitude. Not a question of religion. We're talking about facts. No, you're not. You're talking about religious books. What is the fact? What is the reality? Mostly people, they want to see God or they want to get something from God. But that is not prop. That is not actual religion. Religion means to understand who he is, what is our situation. Do you understand this? What is reality? Who is supreme? What is our relationship with him? That is to be understood. That's the first thing. That is the first thing to understand.
This is my sister and husband's birthday today, so she just husband has not come in because it's work, so she just wanted his special mercy.
Please act in such a way that you won't have any more births. No more birthday. That is the best way to act. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So you are a student of Bhagavad Gita. Well, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, "Vaidaischa sarvaha eva vedaha." By all the Vedas, I am to be known. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, "Atap paratam na anyat kinchid asti." There is nothing superior to me. Why are you searching? That's clearly in Bhagavad Gita is established Krishna is supreme. Wait a minute. Why don't, first of all, can you accept this point? Natap karataram nanyat kinchid asti. Krishna is supreme, there is no one superior to him. All right. Can you accept that?
No.
All right. So why you say you're searching for God? It's established in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is supreme. Yeah. Krishna is supreme. Why don't you try to understand what Krishna says instead of... Why don't you try to understand what Krishna is saying to you instead of what you think that Krishna should say to you? Just like when the child goes to school, he doesn't tell the teacher, "You teach me this." The teacher tells the child what he has to be taught. So you are asking the wrong question. You are asking the wrong question. You have to learn, first of all, how to learn. You're looking for the wrong thing. You have to take the position of Arjuna. Shishyaste shadi mangtvam prapannam. Not that I will learn in my own way. You don't know what, even which questions to ask. You're asking the wrong question. Krishna instructed Arjuna as to what is his duty, his ultimate duty. You should try to understand that. Alright, you want to understand that? Then you have to become a disciple. Then you can understand. Then you have to become a disciple and become trained in understanding what is your ultimate duty. But if you say, I want this, I want that, then you're not a disciple. And you're demanding.
Being a disciple,
continue what?
How to become
the
a
thing
disciple?
Is, disciple means you have to submit that I don't know, I need to be trained.
Yes.
So if you want to discuss by thinking that, well, I will give my opinion, and if he will give his opinion, and then we'll see after that, then there's this kind of discussion is just like when Arjuna was with Krishna. He wasn't discussing. Arjuna had his doubts and he expressed them, but he accepted what Krishna had to tell him. Krishna presented scientific knowledge and Arjuna understood that with his intelligence.
Same thing.
Alright, but I'm telling you that your desire, you're not expressing a doubt desire. Your desire that I want to see God, that is the wrong thing, because your existential position is as a servant of God. God is very great. You are not God. You can never become God. You are the eternal, fragmental, tiny, infinitesimal part of God. Therefore, your duty is to serve Him. Whether you see Him or not, that's up to Him. You cannot demand, I shall see Him. So when you understand that you are to serve, and you are to understand Him and how to serve Him, and then how to be trained, how to serve Him, then you can start to learn. But if you keep on in the middle, you keep on demanding that I should see God, why can't I see God, then you're not ready to be trained. It's not a matter of discussion. This point should be accepted. You are not supreme, you are controlled. As what says?
Ramcharitra.
Why are you going to Ramcharitra? Why are you going there? Bhagavad Gita is the ultimate goal of all knowledge.
All the religious, whatever are there.
Wait a minute, do you accept Bhagavad Gita as it is?
Yes, I accept.
Alright, Krishna is supreme.
Yes.
We have to serve Him. You have any objection to that? Krishna means Rama, not Shiva. Shiva's position is somewhat different. As stated in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mataparataram Nanyat. There is no one superior to me. Right? So serve Krishna. That you have to be trained also.
We should go for only Krishna. We should not go for Rama.
You should understand who Krishna is and serve Him accordingly. Then you will know how to serve Rama and Shiva and everyone.
No, but what Rama is saying, you should understand that also. No? That only I'm expressing my words and I want to understand what he's saying.
You can't, it's no use to bring hundreds of scriptures. Ramcharitmanas is also written by Tulsidas. It's not directly spoken by Lord Rama.
Yes.
Yeah, but Vedvyasa is accepted as the giver, the authorized giver of all knowledge. So if what is in Tulsidas is, if that follows Vyasadeva, then it can be accepted. If not, it cannot be. It's not, the spiritual knowledge is not on the level of Bhagavad Gita. Ram is an avatar of Krishna. That's accepted.
They are both.
The point is, you have to understand this transcendental science step by step.
First of all, you have to throw out all the wrong ideas which you've got and understand that I need to learn. Then you can begin to learn.
It may be.
But generally we find those who are talking about Ramcharitmanas, they don't have surrendered devotion to Krishna or Ram. Mostly they have the misconception.
Both are same.
No, that's what you say. I don't say it's the same. I don't say it's the same. And I don't see that people who are quoting Ramcharitmanas get the same result as those who are following Bhagavad Gita as it is. Mostly they'll all say you do bhakti to Ram, and at the end you'll understand Ram is the manifestation of the Brahma. They don't understand the position of Ram as the... What is the position? Matah parat Ram nanyat. There's nothing superior. They're mostly, in the name of doing bhakti, they're Brahma upasakas. You'll bring Ramcharitmanas, then you may bring this and bring that. But Bhagavad Gita is accepted as the essence of all Vedic knowledge. Why confuse anything? If it follows Bhagavad Gita, then you take it.
Then there's no use of writing Vedas and no use of writing Upanishads, no use of writing Ramcharitmanas.
Everything is to be understood in terms of the knowledge given in Bhagavad Gita. Because within the Vedas, you don't understand.
No, I understand.
You don't. That's your problem.
No, I understand.
That is your problem. You think you understand. You think you understand just by reading without becoming a disciple. That is your problem. That is your problem. You think I've read so many books, I understand so many things, and we can compare it, and it's all the same, and I've got a big brain, and I understand, and you don't understand anything. And you don't want to surrender to Krishna. That is your disease. Big brain. Big scholar.
You can start the japa process, but then we'll start getting that.
Do you really want to understand God, or
yes,
you want?
I really want to understand.
All right, then you.
Otherwise, I'm searching the holy books. I want to understand the books.
Why? Books. Yeah, that's a good question. Why are you searching the holy books?
Yes.
Why?
To understand God. Yeah, there is God. If God is there.
You think you can understand just by reading?
That only I'm asking. What is the way?
No.
The way to understand.
Yeah, you take this. Give him this book. This is the way.
Hindi, English, beginning, which Maharaj advice?
You'll get more confused.
Huh? They got it to Guru Ayur.
Huh?
Prasadam from Guru Ayur.
Can I? Sorry?
This is Prasadam from Guru Ayur temple.
Yeah.
So may I take the liberty to present it to you?
You can, yeah. I'll take it.
This is some Chandanam.
Hare Krishna.
Sandalwood.
You read so many books, but you never understood that you could never understand by simply by reading books. Simply by reading many, you'll become more confused by reading many books without taking guidance. It's just like you can't become a doctor just by reading. You may say, I'm reading so many books because I want to become a doctor. I'm reading so many medical books. But if you actually want to become a doctor, you don't just start reading medical books. You have to follow the proper process. You have to find someone who's a qualified doctor and learn from him. But if you simply read many medical books and you quote this and quote that, but you don't understand anything, you may think, I know so much, but practically you don't understand anything. That's what I'm saying. There's some fault in the very fact that you're reading so many books without trying to learn from someone who knows. There's a fault in that.
Sorry to bother you.
well, it's a waste of time if you're not willing to actually take the process. If you actually take the process, then we'll be very happy. But you have to come to the platform of surrender. Otherwise, simply by reading and talking, then you're going nowhere. There has to be practical surrender to Krishna. Krishna is supreme, that means you have to follow the process he gives. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. Krishna says, I can be understood by bhakti. You have to understand who Krishna is. There are so many people talking about Krishna, but they mostly give all the wrong idea. Mostly they give the idea Krishna is one of the gods. This is not in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Mataparataramanya, no one is equal to me. Mostly they give the idea that Krishna is produced from this avyakta. But in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyante mama buddhayaha. Who thinks that my vyaktitva, my personality has come from the avyakta, such a person is a buddhayaha, is a fool. So these ideas are common because everyone in this material world is a fool, and even when they come to talk of Krishna, they become more foolish because they don't follow Bhagavad Gita as it is. And you hear them all talking and you think they know so much. But they're just talking, but they're actually foolish because they don't accept what Krishna says. All these ideas, all the gods are the same. Bhagavad Gita is not accepted. Lord Krishna says those who worship all different demigods, Krishna says they're simply materialistic fools. So what goes on in the name of general Hinduism is it's sophisticated foolishness, avoiding Krishna. Even they'll say Krishna, but do they actually want Krishna? Or they want to become Krishna? I'm as good as Krishna. Surrender to Krishna, this Atma Samarpan that everyone is avoiding. Even like I say, they'll read Ramcharit Manas, they'll chant Ram Nam, and they'll think that I'll become Ram. Or Ram is coming from the Nirvishesh Jyoti. They don't have proper understanding. So you give him this Bhagavad Gita as it is also.
Yeah, we have the Bhagavad Gita. We don't have the Vedic classes.
It's good you have a philosophical disposition. That if you really want your philosophical disposition to come to the proper point, then you have to understand that simply by my philosophical wanderings, I'm not going to go anywhere. Just like if you think that, well, I want to go to Beijing. I heard there's a place called Beijing. I don't know where it is, but it's somewhere. So let me, wander here and there. You're not going to get there. You have to find the proper process. You'll just wander out into the desert and die. You have to find the proper process for going there. And even if you go, how are you going to get entered in there? You have to have a passport, a visa. And even if you go inside, if you don't know how to live there, then how are you going to interact with the people? You don't know how to speak with them. You don't know their customs. So even to go from one place to another in this world, it requires so much proper understanding. So if you want to go from here to the spiritual world, it requires so much preparation. If you want to go from here to China, there's so much preparation you have to make. So if you want to go from here to the spiritual world, it's not just a matter of people saying, everything's all one, all the gods are the same. Just do bhakti any way you like. These people are missing almost everything that's going on in the name of Hinduism or Christianity or Buddhism or whatever it is. It's all misleading because people mostly say that they want God, but they don't. They're cheating themselves and they're cheating others. They're making a show of wanting God, but they don't actually want it. We have to become as sincere as Arjuna who didn't want to fight for very good reasons. He didn't. His reasons he gave. Why should he want to fight with Bhishma and Drona? Why should he want? The reasons he gave were very good. But Krishna says there's a higher reason why you should fight, and Arjuna accepted it, not blindly, but he accepted that Krishna, he is supreme. He knows what is best. I have to do what he says. So we're not being asked to kill all our family, not that, but we are asked to be as sincere as Arjuna, to do the proper thing, even though everyone else may say it's the wrong thing. So we're not propagating some general Hinduism, all the gods are the same, and you read many books and you just do whatever you think is best, and you spend your whole life. Why spend your whole life searching? If you take Bhagavad Gita as it is, then immediately you get the truth. But then you have to be prepared to accept it. And not say, well, it says this here, and then over here it says something else, so I don't, all right, and here it says something else. And you'll go on your whole life like this, but you won't become self-realized. Therefore, we accept that Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. Sarva Upanishado Gava. So it's the essence of all spiritual knowledge. So it's not that we are against other scriptures. No, the scriptures, they're good if they're actual scriptures. But we